The latest astronomy news for March 2007 is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Ulysses spots solar outburst, a new theory may explain dark galaxies, and Rosetta prepares for a Mars encounter. On its third pass over the solar South Pole at the end of last year, observations made by the Ulysses spacecraft have produced some surprises. The craft, a joint ESA-NASA mission, detected some very strong polar outbursts, despite the Sun being near to the minimum of its 11-year cycle of activity. Outbursts of charged particles have recently been seen from the equatorial regions, which have been picked up by near-Earth satellites and ground-based observations. But similar increases in radiation were detected by the instruments on Ulysses, currently over the Sun's south pole. The probe also picked up events of this kind during its last polar pass in the year 2001, close to solar maximum. But such energetic events were not expected to be seen at solar minimum. It is uncertain how the charged particles get from the equatorial regions to the poles. Charged particles have to follow magnetic field lines, and the magnetic field pattern of the Sun near solar minimum ought to make it much more difficult for the particles to move in latitude, said Richard Marsden, ESA's Ulysses project scientist. This announcement coincides with the start of International Heliophysical Year, 50 years after the International Geophysical Year helped us to better understand our own planet. Over the next 12 months, many scientific collaborations and public events have been organised with the aim of understanding the effects of the Sun and the solar wind throughout the solar system. This solar wind, a stream of charged particles which constantly flows from the Sun, affects us here on Earth, but it also affects the other planets. This wind, although usually not a problem, can damage planetary atmospheres, affect communications, and harm satellites. Details of public events being organised throughout the year can be found on the International Heliophysical Years Project website. A new theory attempts to explain the origin of a class of galaxies known as the dwarf spheroidals. These galaxies are much smaller than our own Milky Way and are incredibly faint, containing very few stars and almost no gas. A typical spiral galaxy contains a few hundred billion stars. Ordinary dwarf galaxies might contain a few billion stars, while these dwarf spheroidals contain only around 1 million stars. They are found orbiting the Milky Way and the nearby Andromeda Galaxy, and are thought to exist around all large spiral galaxies, but are so faint that they can only be detected nearby and have not yet been discovered around more distant galaxies. It is thought that these faint galaxies have been stripped of their luminous matter, leaving just a few stars, and the dark matter halo, which interacts only very weakly with normal matter. The origin of these galaxies is a mystery, which may have now been solved. A team of cosmologists, led by Lucio Meyer at the University of Zurich and Stelios Kazantzidis at Stanford University, have conducted new simulations of galaxy formation where these dwarf spheroidals start out as normal dwarf galaxies. As they interact with a larger galaxy, such as the Milky Way, they are affected by several different effects. The stars are largely removed by the gravitational interaction with the larger galaxy through an effect known as tidal shocking. As the dwarf galaxy travelled in an orbit around the larger companion, radiation left over from the Big Bang first heated the gas, which then allowed it to be removed through ram pressure, an effect which can be thought of as a sort of large-scale wind resistance. Numerical simulations, carried out by Meyer and his colleagues and published in the 15th February issue of Nature, could further help explain the lack of satellites seen around galaxies, compared to how many are predicted by theoretical calculations. On the 25th of February, the European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft flew by Mars in the second of four critical gravity assists in its 10-year voyage to comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. This manoeuvre saw Rosetta skimming past Mars at a height of only 250 kilometres in order to receive an orbital kick to help it on its way. On its way past, the spacecraft conducted observations of the red planet, primarily to help calibrate the instruments, but also to gather data which will complement those gathered by ESA's Mars Express in a mini-coordinated observation campaign. 3 days later, on February 28th, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft also underwent a gravity assist maneuver. The craft was launched 12 months ago and is on its way to Pluto and the Kuiper Belt. It had a close approach with Jupiter to provide an increase in speed, although it will still be several years before it reaches the cold outer reaches of the solar system. During this flyby, and for a few weeks afterwards, an ultraviolet camera on board Rosetta will be used to observe Jupiter's aurora and the plasma torus that surrounds Io, one of Jupiter's largest moons, in a coordinated observing campaign with New Horizons. And finally, Saturday the 3rd of March sees a total lunar eclipse. The penumbral phase of the eclipse begins at 2018 Universal Time, while totality actually begins at 2244 Universal Time. Mid-eclipse occurs at 2320 and ends at 2357, and the Moon leaves the Earth's penumbral shadow at 0223 Universal Time. The entire eclipse will be visible from Europe, Africa and Western Asia. In East Asia, the Moon will set during the eclipse, while those in the Americas will see the Moon rise partially eclipsed. In the news this month, Ulysses spots solar outburst, a new theory may explain dark galaxies, and Rosetta prepares for a Mars encounter. On its third pass over the solar South Pole at the end of last year, observations made by the Ulysses spacecraft have produced some surprises. The craft, a joint ESA-NASA mission, detected some very strong polar outbursts, despite the Sun being near to the minimum of its 11-year cycle of activity. Outbursts of charged particles have recently been seen from the equatorial regions, which have been picked up by near-Earth satellites and ground-based observations. But similar increases in radiation were detected by the instruments on Ulysses, currently over the Sun's south pole. The probe also picked up events of this kind during its last polar pass in the year 2001, close to solar maximum. But such energetic events were not expected to be seen at solar minimum. It is uncertain how the charged particles get from the equatorial regions to the poles. Charged particles have to follow magnetic field lines, and the magnetic field pattern of the Sun near solar minimum ought to make it much more difficult for the particles to move in latitude, said Richard Marsden, ESA's Ulysses project scientist. This announcement coincides with the start of International Heliophysical Year, 50 years after the International Geophysical Year helped us to better understand our own planet. Over the next 12 months, many scientific collaborations and public events have been organised with the aim of understanding the effects of the Sun and the solar wind throughout the solar system. This solar wind, a stream of charged particles which constantly flows from the Sun, affects us here on Earth, but it also affects the other planets. This wind, although usually not a problem, can damage planetary atmospheres, affect communications, and harm satellites. Details of public events being organised throughout the year can be found on the International Heliophysical Years Project website. A new theory attempts to explain the origin of a class of galaxies known as the dwarf spheroidals. These galaxies are much smaller than our own Milky Way and are incredibly faint, containing very few stars and almost no gas. A typical spiral galaxy contains a few hundred billion stars. Ordinary dwarf galaxies might contain a few billion stars, while these dwarf spheroidals contain only around 1 million stars. They are found orbiting the Milky Way and the nearby Andromeda Galaxy, and are thought to exist around all large spiral galaxies, but are so faint that they can only be detected nearby and have not yet been discovered around more distant galaxies. It is thought that these faint galaxies have been stripped of their luminous matter, leaving just a few stars, and the dark matter halo, which interacts only very weakly with normal matter. The origin of these galaxies is a mystery which may have now been solved. A team of cosmologists led by Lucio Meyer at the University of Zurich and Stelios Kazantzidis at Stanford University have conducted new simulations of galaxy formation where these dwarf spheroidals start out as normal dwarf galaxies. As they interact with a larger galaxy, such as the Milky Way, they are affected by several different effects. The stars are largely removed by the gravitational interaction with the larger galaxy through an effect known as tidal shocking. As the dwarf galaxy travelled in an orbit around the larger companion, radiation left over from the Big Bang first heated the gas, which then allowed it to be removed through ram pressure, an effect which can be thought of as a sort of large-scale wind resistance. Numerical simulations, carried out by Mayer and his colleagues and published in the 15th February issue of Nature, could further help explain the lack of satellites seen around galaxies, compared to how many are predicted by theoretical calculations. On the 25th of February, the European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft flew by Mars in the second of four critical gravity assists in its 10-year voyage to comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. This manoeuvre saw Rosetta skimming past Mars at a height of only 250 kilometres in order to receive an orbital kick to help it on its way. On its way past, the spacecraft conducted observations of the red planet, primarily to help calibrate the instruments, but also to gather data which will complement those gathered by ESA's Mars Express in a mini-coordinated observation campaign. 3 days later, on February 28th, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft also underwent a gravity assist manoeuvre. The craft was launched 12 months ago and is on its way to Pluto and the Kuiper Belt. It had a close approach with Jupiter to provide an increase in speed, although it will still be several years before it reaches the cold outer reaches of the solar system. During this flyby, and for a few weeks afterwards, an ultraviolet camera on board Rosetta will be used to observe Jupiter's aurora and the plasma torus that surrounds Io, one of Jupiter's largest moons, in a coordinated observing campaign with New Horizons. And finally, Saturday the 3rd of March sees a total lunar eclipse. The penumbral phase of the eclipse begins at 20:18 Universal Time, while totality actually begins at 22:44 Universal Time. Mid-eclipse occurs at 23:20 and ends at 23:57, and the moon leaves the Earth's penumbral shadow at 02:23 Universal Time. The entire eclipse will be visible from Europe, Africa and Western Asia. In East Asia, the moon will set during the eclipse, while those in the Americas will see the moon rise partially eclipsed.